of Manchester. Not even speaking of emperor of the world, but it's the mayor of Manchester. And the night before the great event, you're asked to leave the country for 14 years. How would you feel? Leave the country for 14 years with no contact with the people. How would you feel? But Lord Ram did that without the slightest anxiety, simply because his father asked. And it certainly was most painful for his father. Paul's here, that's going to be here.
Generator coming.
We're going to read from the Ramayana, from the point where Maharaj Dasarath, Lord Ram's father, is thinking of retiring and putting his beloved son Ram in charge. All four sons, Ram, Bharata, Shatrughna, Lakshman, they're Vishnu Tattva. They're all the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Ram is the main expansion of the group. So it's a very interesting situation. All four brothers were the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sometimes people make the mistake, thinking, oh, you worship many gods. No. Vaishnavism is completely monotheistic, but we accept that the Lord can expand not only into parts and parcels, like us, but he can also expand into other supreme personalities of Godhead. Speaking at one of the guest nights, and there was one Indian young lady there, and she was explaining to one of the guests that, oh, I'm a Hindu and we believe in many gods. Mm-hmm. Neither of the statements are true, of course. Still, people can get confused. How is this? Ram, Lakshman, Shatrughna, Bharata? They're all Vishnu Tattva. They're all the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How can it be? Just remember, the cause of all causes. When Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Aham Sarvastra Bhavat, Matta Sarvam Bhavat, I'm the cause, everything comes from me. Krishna means everything, even other expansions from Krishna expand other supreme personalities of Godhead. That is the complete greatness of the Supreme Lord. Not to simply expand into the tiny, but also to expand into the infinite. From Krishna. In other words, the infinite expands into the infinite. Not simply the infinite expands into tiny parts. From the complete whole, you get other complete wholes, and you also get parts. Still remember, Krishna is the cause of all causes. In this part of Ram Lila we're reading, you'll get to feel palace intrigue, the sudden reversals of the material world, jealousy, envy. And the disasters that jealousy and envy cause. Of course, bear in mind that all these incidents, they're arranged by Krishna's pastime energy for his pleasure, although it does seem like suffering. all the incidents of the past time are unfolding in that particular way in order to enhance the drama of the past time, enhance the suspense, to enhance the feeling of separation between the beloveds. Remember, Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. So as Lord Ram, the Lord is enjoying what it's like to live in separation from his dear consort, Sita. The aging Dasarath, thinking of his retirement, gradually entrusted more and more of the state affairs to Ram and Lakshman. Those two princes, along with their wives, served the king in every way. So they were ideal Kshatriyas, Vedic warriors. They knew all the martial arts, military science, as well as how to have the best character. And Lord Ram was the treasure of the whole kingdom. Everyone loved Lord Ram. Everyone loved him for his abilities, for his personal qualities, humble, mild, self-controlled. The ideal personality. That is God, the ideal personality, the perfect personality. Because we don't think perfect personalities are possible, it's hard for us to understand the Supreme Personality, Godhead. And we would rather think impersonality is perfection. Some all-pervading white light, some all-pervading oneness without variety and distinction. We think, oh, that must be the perfection. Because we can't conceive of perfect personality. But in Ram Leela, you hear about the perfect qualities of Lord Ram, perfect abilities. Everybody wanted Lord Ram to be installed as emperor. Not only his father, but all the people in the kingdom. There was just no doubt about it. The first thing Dasarath did was consult the royal astrologers. At that time, these previous yugas, these previous Vedic millenniums, astrologers were much more potent than they are now. So, Dasarath Maharaj asked them, what's a favorable time for the coronation? And what did the astrologers see? They saw dreadful signs in the heavens, indicators that some huge calamity was going to occur soon. So what did Dasarath Maharaj think? These omens must surely be referring to my imminent death. He's an old man. That's the only thing he could think of. So he decided, let's perform the coronation immediately. Let's get a jump on all these inauspicious omens that are happening. And we'll perform the coronation, why not tomorrow? And that way we can get around the storm, astrological storm that's blowing through. Sometimes when there's bad weather, you want to get what you have to get done real quick. So Dasarath Maharaj is thinking like that. We'll have a coronation real quick. Some inauspicious signs are coming. The way, however, things are unfolding produce complications. Dasarath forgot to invite a particular king whom his two other sons, Bharata and Shatrughna, had gone to help out. This king was the father of Kausalya, one of Dasarath's wives. So Dasarath had asked that these two sons of his go to help the father of their mother. You see, it's common for, especially of such a powerful regent, powerful ruler as Dasyatha to have more than one wife. It's normal for Kshatriyas, for Vedic warriors. They can have as many as they can take care of. Which was good for ladies, because otherwise so many ladies wouldn't have such a qualified husband. This forgetting to contact this king where the two other sons were, this would cause complications, or some really reinforced complications. In other words, some other destiny is unfolding. So just bear that in the back of your minds. Only Ram and Lakshman, those two sons, were there in Ayodhya, the capital city. The other two, Bharata and Shatrughna, they were off. And remember, these boys, these sons, they're coming from different wives. Later, Dasharatha realized, oh, I forgot to ask that king to come where my other two boys are visiting. Anyway, they won't be able to get here in time. We're going to have the coronation tomorrow. Everyone loves Ram. They won't mind.
It was right
to think that way. So, now, Dasharatha Maharaj is going to consult the Brahmanas. And he's saying, with your permission, I desire to place Ram at the head of the state. Let us have the ceremony tomorrow. So all the ministers, all the kings, they agree, yes, there's none more qualified than Ram. He possesses every desirable quality. But the whole assembly was filled with delight to hear that Ram would be made king. And how do they respond to Dasharatha Maharaj's presentation? They made a thunderous sound all together. Let it be so, let it be so. Let Ram be coronated. The leader of the Brahmanas stepped forward and said to Dasharatha Maharaj, you have so long protected us with love, O King. Now you have a worthy son and can retire peacefully. We pray that you install Ram as Prince Regent, for he alone deserves to be your successor. We long to see Ram riding on the great royal elephant, his head shielded by the white umbrella. So upon hearing the assembly of princes and kings and ministers unanimously agreed to Ram's installation, Dasharatha's eyes filled with tears. The decision was confirmed. So then, everybody dispersed from the assembly with a loud clamor, shouting, "Victory to Ram! Jai Ram! Jai Ram!" Still, that night, Dasharatha was thinking about the astrological predictions. And he called for Ram and spoke to him in private. And he said, he thought the astrological predictions, Dasharatha, as I said, he thought they were for him, that he was going to die any moment. So he called Ram to his private quarters and embraced him and said, I've done all I can do in this life. All that remains for me to do is to install you as my successor. Dasharatha clasped Ram close to his bosom. The king's body trembled and his eyes shed tears. He desperately longed for his son to succeed him. At last it was imminent. Surely no evil destiny could prevent it now. Wouldn't even the gods desire to see this magnificent prince become the king? So then Dasarath Maharaj told his son Ram, "I've seen some bad stars. I've had many bad dreams. Seeing all these bad omens, we have to do your installation swiftly before any problems arise. At sunrise tomorrow, we shall commence the installation ceremony." Everything looks like it's going to roll. Throughout the kingdom, the news of Ram's installation spreads. The temples are full of people making offerings and worshiping the demigods. You see, it's fine to worship demigods for the purpose of pleasing the Supreme Lord. But to worship demigods as if they are entities unto themselves, that is forbidden. There's a festival everywhere in the city. The whole city is decorated. No one can wait for sunrise. Then the ceremony would begin. Now, so you got this picture of the joy, the whole city decked out, everyone wonderfully ecstatic. Ram, our beloved Ram, will be coronated king tomorrow. You can just imagine how their hearts were throbbing with joy to have the Supreme Personality Godhead Ramchandra running their government. One who is perfect in all qualities, perfect in all activities, perfect in knowledge. Now let's switch to the palace of one of Dasarath's wives. Here's where the problem is going to manifest. Being, as I said, a powerful emperor, warrior, Dasarath Maharaj naturally had more than one wife. So, all these wives loved Ram as their own son. There was never any disharmony. In fact, the wives loved Ram better than their own sons. And they would often say that Ram treated them better than their own sons treated them. You know, all the children were related as half brother, half sister. Same father, different wives. But all the different wives said, "Ram treats me better than my own son." And all the wives loved Ram better than their own sons. To show you the power of Lord Ram. How attractive he is. This is one thing you have to remember. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is all attractive. Still, let's go into the palace of the youngest wife of King Dasarath, Kaikeyi. Here's where the problem's going to start. Now, Kaikeyi, the king's youngest queen, had a hunchback servant named Muntara. So, Muntara, she didn't know what was going on. She looked and saw the huge celebration beginning, and she went to Ram's former nurse. You know, nurse meaning when he was a baby. And she asked, "What's going on? Why is everyone so delighted? Is there going to be a big sacrifice?" And then the nurse, her face full of happiness, told Muntara about the king's decision to install Ram the very next morning. She said, "Tomorrow, under favorable stars, our Lord Dasarath will give to the sinless Ram the office of Prince Regent. What greater occasion for joy could there be?" What was Muntara's reaction? She was immediately seized with anger. Disaster. Why would Muntara think that? Because her master, Kaikeyi, was the favorite wife of the king. She was the youngest one. And because Kaikeyi was the favorite wife of the king, Mantra, as her assistant, got so many perks and prestige and